Is there any particular part of this ruling that really stands out, that really resonates for you?
Well, you know, I have to say that when the court recognized really the lack of logic in what the city of Macomb did and proclaimed, you know, to quote the court, it was, "This is not how America decides who should be elected." And this 50% plus one vote just was nowhere to be found. I think that was really one of the most profound parts of the decision. You know, that's just not how we do things here in America. There are rules. There's ordinary meanings of terms that citizens have the right to expect, that majority means more than half. And it's what every court in Illinois has determined it to be. It's just plain common sense, and that's what citizens deserve, is plain common sense. So I think that particular passage, I think, is really significant.
When this case was first brought to you, did you sort of think the same thing?
Well, you know, it just simply didn't make sense. You know, when we heard that a citizen had run for office here in America and won more than half, won a majority of the votes, but the city had refused to seat him, and then we looked at the code itself that clearly said that the candidate who receives a majority of votes cast in an election shall be declared elected, the winner. It just simply defied common sense. But, you know, I have to say that it turned on the definition of a word, but the implications were really profound, and because it really went to the heart of the constitutional right to vote in the state and the constitutional right to have votes counted. And both of those rights are protected by the Illinois Constitution. So it was more than just about a word. It was about ensuring that our Constitution was enforced.
And is it more than just a Macomb election? You feel this has a statewide impact?
Well, you know, first of all, it does stand for, you know, the precedent of certainly that, again, that the right to vote and have votes counted in the state matters, and that, you know, elected officials, government officials need to be on notice that their conduct, that what they do has consequences. And, you know, we had tried to resolve this without going to court by pointing out the inconsistency between the city's interpretation of the code itself, the very language of the code, and certainly the commonly held and popularly understood meaning of majority. And we encourage them to do the right thing so that we wouldn't have to go through all this. So I think this does stand for the proposition of, you know, conduct matters. State officials need to be on notice about what they do and how they enforce the law. And when they don't do it right, and when they run up against the constitutional protections like what happened here, that they will be held accountable. And that's why the Liberty Justice Center stepped in. And we are just you know, glad that we could be a part of this and ensure that our Constitution was enforced.
Do you think it also emphasizes the need to clearly define what you mean when you use a word such as majority in a city code?
Well, I think what's clear, as the judge it recognized in his decision, is that it was clear in the city code. Yeah, majority was used. Actually, majority is used throughout the code. So it was very clear, and it has a clear and commonly understood meaning in court precedent across the state. And in any dictionary you pick up, you look up the word majority, you find more than half. And so it was clear, and it really goes to elected officials, government officials, ensuring that what they're doing is right and consistent with the law, and not acting arbitrarily.
So did you have an inkling when the city decided to vacate today's hearing that perhaps things were going to turn out in your favor, that the city was unable to come up with anything that supported their case?
Well, we certainly appreciated the court giving the city the opportunity to take the to see if they would have anything additional to the record. Obviously, we were hopeful. And certainly we weren't surprised that the city couldn't come up with anything, but we're certainly pleased that there was thought and time given to this by the court, and that the parties had the chance to defend their case, and we had the chance to prosecute our case, and then in the end, that the rule of law was upheld.
So, what's next?
Well, what's next is that Stephen Wayland is declared elected, and he will be sworn in as the second ward alderman in the city of Macomb, and that's coming up in early May. It's at the first city council meeting, I believe, that the city holds in May.
Yeah, May 6th, I believe.
Yes.
All right. Anything you want to add about this case?
Well, I think, again, that, you know, what we really have to remember as citizens is to be eternally vigilant about the upholding of our Constitution and respect for ensuring that government respects our rights under the Constitution and liberty, and that this is not just about a word. It's not just about a definition. It really does go to the heart of what our Constitution stands for. And so I encourage all citizens around the state to be eternally vigilant and to speak up and step up when things like this happen. And certainly the Liberty Justice Center's whole reason for being is to get involved in cases like this and to go into court and fight where perhaps the citizen like Stephen Wayland didn't have the resources to take on the legal challenge on his own. I have to really thank citizens across the state of Illinois who believe in liberty, who believe in freedom, who believe in the Constitution, and support the Liberty Justice Center and the Illinois Policy Institute, and made it possible for us to go into court on behalf of Stephen and represent him on a pro bono basis.
All right. Thanks for your time, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your interest in this case and this really important issue for the city.